This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org.
Time to face the music.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The big three rating agencies will be called into the principal's office today. I'm talking about Fitch, Moody's, Standard & Poor's. The SEC wants to know how in the world these guys gave AAA ratings to mortgage bonds that turned out to be junk. Marketplace's Amy Scott has more.
The SEC is expected to take aim at conflicts of interest in the ratings business. Investment banks pay Moody's, Fitch, and Standard & Poor's to rate their bonds. Critics say competition for that business led the agencies to throw objectivity out the window. Joseph Mason teaches finance at Louisiana State University. He says the ratings agencies often help design the very bonds they rate. The SEC is considering putting a stop to that.
That is one of the many open secrets on Wall Street. Ratings agencies continue to insist that they don't engage in this practice, and yet everyone on the street knows they do.
Commissioners may require more disclosure of the agency's ratings methods. They could also propose a separate rating scale for volatile securities like mortgage-backed bonds. The public will have a chance to comment on the reforms before a final vote. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
In Asia today, the stock markets rebounded. The Nikkei in Japan gained more than 1%. Other markets were up a fraction. In Europe, stocks are pretty flat so far. The Dow is at 12,289. It added 9 points yesterday. But the S&P 500 was down 3 to 1358. And the NASDAQ fell 10 points to 2448. The Donald has brought his unique brand of showmanship to Scotland this week. Trump is trying to get permission to build a $2 billion golf resort on the Scottish coast. But many Scots want Trump to get lost. As much as they love golf, they don't want their coastline marred by a golf course. Our man in London, Stephen Beard, joins us now. What's this hearing been like, Stephen?
Well, after the first day, Trump said, "I'm slaying them." I think he certainly has impressed them with his shall we say, modesty. When asked about his plans, he said, "If I get the go-ahead to build this one in Scotland, it would be the best in the world."
Yeah, he's not one for understatement.
Indeed.
There seems to be split opinion on this in Scotland, right?
Yes, because while there is quite a bit of local opposition because of the concern about what it might do to this beautiful landscape, this is an economically depressed part of the country, and so there is some support for what is a pretty big development and will bring perhaps as many as 500, perhaps even 1,000 jobs to the area.
I actually read that Trump said, "If you reject this, there will be a terrible blow to Scotland." You believe
that one?
The Scottish
economy will never recover. I mean, I don't think they'll ever recover anyway, because it's true to say that you've got these sort of rather dour, reticent Scottish people confronted by this amazingly flamboyant character flying in with his Boeing 727 with Trump blazoned all on one side. And, of course, his extraordinary hairstyle. We'll know in about 3 weeks whether it's successful. That's how long the inquiry will last. And we'll have to wait till then to find out whether his arguments will carry the day.
All right, Stephen Beard in London. Thank you.
Okay, Scott.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, working to reduce heart disease, the number one killer of American women, by supporting Women Heart. Information at womenheart.org. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Gas and food prices are a stressful problem in this country, but elsewhere, things have turned pretty ugly. In Spain, truckers are on strike over fuel costs, and so gas stations and grocery stores and car repair shops can't get their shipments. Commentator Robert Reich says this is the new reality.
The costs of food and fuel are soaring, not just in the U.S., but all over the globe. The world's poor are suffering the most, culminating in riots and starvation. But price hikes are eroding living standards in advanced nations as well. Everyone, it seems, is looking for scapegoats, international conspiracies, speculators, hoarders. But the main reason food and fuel prices are skyrocketing is demand for both is rapidly exceeding supply. You see, hundreds of millions of people in China and India and the former Soviet republics are ascending into the middle class at a rate never before seen in history. And the two items this huge, rapidly growing middle class want most are cars and meat. That's the problem. Cars use enormous amounts of fuel, and meat uses up enormous amounts of agricultural land because animals that provide it require lots of feed grains. And supplies of both are limited. This means global prices for fuel and food will continue to increase in the foreseeable future. And these increases are likely to generate the biggest threats to global peace. Political pressures will mount on governments to protect their own nation's sources of energy and food for their own citizens. Conflict will intensify over whether land should be used for biofuels or food production. Farm subsidies in advanced nations will come under increasing attack from developing nations. Meanwhile, superpowers China, Europe, and America will compete ever more intensely for access to global supplies. And as more cars are used and more forests are cleared for agriculture, greenhouse gases will further shrink arable land. The answer to all this lies mainly in increasing the supply of food and fuels. And both will depend on two kinds of green research, into more productive and sustainable agriculture and into more efficient and sustainable fuels. In other words, we're in a race between developing new biotechnologies and new sources of renewable energy on the one hand, and confronting rising political and economic conflict on the other. And the global clock is ticking ominously fast.
Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Share your thoughts with us at the Marketplace Confessional. You'll find it online at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.